the government said there's about €1 billion available in terms of fiscal space. Now, there's a lot of competing demands for that, including demands for tax cuts. We are saying that entire fiscal space should be used on infrastructure. So €400 million to go on the rollout of the fibre infrastructure for rural broadband. I mean, it's simply unacceptable now that it could be 2022 by the time it's rolled out. If you want a balanced regional spread of jobs, if you want to improve, you know, the social and economic lives of people in communities, that's what you need to do. And the remaining €600 million we'd put into fully resourcing the social housing strategy and expanding it. €600 million won't solve the housing crisis, but it will do things like bring voids up to scratch, help with the homelessness crisis, other properties that perhaps aren't, you know, suitable for living in at the moment, bring those properties up to scratch, use the money to expand it. At the same time, you need off-balance sheet funding, and we've proposals on that. And then all our other proposals in this document, we've actually funded through either tax reform or tax increases. So we're saying the fiscal space should go on infrastructure, just the two pieces where you can get the most return for your money. And they're two of the biggest, I suppose, infrastructural problems that we have in Ireland at the moment. And we've had them for a long time. They didn't happen overnight. So if you're going to make a well-informed decision about the allocation of resources, we're saying those are the two areas you need to focus on in the money that's available. And people seem to forget, and government don't necessarily highlight it, that government is perfectly entitled to and capable of raising revenue in order to fund other items. It shouldn't be an and or. They can do more than one or two things, but they have to, I suppose, government has to acknowledge the fact that it will have to raise the revenue to do it.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about tax hikes, people always recoil from that because nobody likes the idea of tax hikes.
Yes, well, actually, we have two areas in terms of taxation. There's tax reform and tax increases. So in terms of tax reform, just looking at, and there's only three items in tax reform. One of them is to standard rate the tax break on pension contributions, not eliminated, but standard rated. So it's available to everybody at the same rate, 20%. The second reform is to standard rate all other discretionary tax breaks or tax expenditures, as they're called. So if there's a legitimate case for a tax break to be made available, then it should be made available at the same level to everybody, so at 20%. It will still should have the same effect in terms of generating the policy outcomes that you want, but you also manage to, you know, increase your revenue quite significantly without having to have a tax increase. It's a reform, and the third element there is to remove the refund that's available at the moment for companies who don't use their full R&D tax credit. So we're getting about €1.3 billion in extra revenue simply from reforming the taxation system, not increasing anything. And then on the other side, we do have taxation increases, not in terms of the ordinary PAYE worker, things like an increase in the tax on online gambling, the introduction of an aggregates levy, sugar sweetened drinks tax, a minimum effective corporate tax rate, a financial transaction tax. So those sort of bigger things to broaden the base, a tax on undeveloped land and sites, for example, that's due to come in 2019. We're saying bringing it in next year. Why are we waiting? We have a housing crisis. So none of those taxes will impact on people's incomes, but they will go towards funding the services that they expect. And I think that's key. If you want to deliver decent public services, you shouldn't be relying on fiscal space to do that, because fiscal space will go up and down. I mean, next year, as a result of Brexit, it could be a lot lower. We don't know. If you want to fund decent services, then you have to be able to raise the revenue to do it. And a really easy way to raise a significant amount of revenue is simply to just reform the system before you even look at increases.
And why don't the government do that more often? Because when you're saying it now, it all sounds perfectly reasonable. But, you know, when it comes to the budget, they always seem to go for the same predictable things, like raising taxes or putting tax on things like cigarettes or alcohol or something. Like, there always seems to be a few obvious predictable things that the government go for. You never hear about the different things that you're talking about there.
Well, I suppose it boils down to a number of things. First is what will be popular, I suppose, among the electorate. And often you can see, and that would be my worry in this budget, given that we have minority government and we're who knows when the next election is going to be, that decisions that will be made are designed just to go down well with the electorate, not looking at, you know, the long-term future of the Irish economy and of Irish society and, you know, the long-term well-being of citizens. Secondly, in terms of some of the areas I mentioned, certain lobby groups are very, very strong in this area. So, for example, just think of the pensions lobby. It's huge, yet pensions in Ireland have consistently underperformed, yet they get huge tax breaks. They have a very opaque system of fees. So when people actually go to draw down their pension upon retirement, they don't realise the huge chunk of money they lose to the pensions industry, which at the same time has not delivered on what it was supposed to deliver. So there shouldn't be any argument against just standard rating the tax break on pensions. But then certain lobby groups are very strong, and that also feeds into it. I think the third item is, I suppose, traditionally we've had a lack of focus on long-term outcomes and medium-term outcomes. And I think we need to move towards that now. Because if you really, you know, when you think about it, 1 billion euros isn't a huge amount of money in the context of the overall state expenditure in terms of current and capital expenditure. It's actually, you know, not a huge amount of money. So what you need to do is, you know, use it wisely and make sure you get the most out of your investments. So you should focus it on infrastructure. And then don't go and lie to the electorate and say we can't fund these services. You could fund the services if you reformed, you know, the taxation system we have at present, if you broadened it and brought in tax increases that were aimed at particular things that had environmental impacts and that also raised revenue for you.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about funding services, and of course a lot of people would think about things like medical services or the HSE, and those services always seem to be short funded, or they always seem to be short of money, or the government always seems to be trying to push people into private healthcare to ease their burden. I mean, could these things reform that? I mean, or are things like the health service or even homelessness, are they something of a black hole?
No, I mean, homelessness, if you had sufficient housing units, and the Homelessness Strategy Group have stated this publicly, that you could probably eliminate homelessness in 12 to 18 months if you had sufficient units and if you put in the services and supports that people require. It's just that homelessness has become a huge crisis now because we don't have enough either private or social housing units. In terms of the health system, I mean, in our document, we're proposing a 327 million euro investment in health focused on primary and community care, because hospital care is incredibly expensive to the state. And as you mentioned, they're pushing people to get private health insurance and into private providers. But the government have committed to enhancing primary care, and they've also committed to publishing a long-term budget for the health service, which would be very welcome. But I suppose in order to publish a long-term budget, they need to put the money where they can get the most return. And for, you know, in the context of funding our hospitals, accident emergencies, the HSE, 327 million euro isn't a huge amount of money in the health budget when they get usually an extra 500 million euro most Novembers to cover the overspend. And if that money was put into things like home help hours, respite care, community care, child and family services, mental health services, as we've proposed, you'd provide services in the communities for the people who live in those communities, services that can last, that can adapt to changing needs as a result of changing demographics, and get people out of the acute hospital system, because that's what costs you the most, is having people in the acute hospital system, particularly people who don't need to be there, such as, you know, people over 65 who are in hospital, maybe they've had a fall, but they can't move home because the step-down care isn't there in the community for someone to adapt their home and to get the home help a couple of hours a week. And that's why they're stuck in hospitals. You know, the term is bed blockers, which is a terrible term, but they're stuck in a hospital bed that's costing the state a significant amount of money that they don't need to be in. So you need to invest in community care to get the most value for money in the health service and to give people the care they want in their communities.
I mean, but overall, I suppose, I mean, from the point of view of this budget being different to other budgets, I mean, do you think there is a potential there for something positive in a way that hasn't been there in the past?
Yes, I do think there is. What we found, actually, this budget, as opposed to previous ones, is a lot of the parties seem to be much more interested in proposals, which is a good thing. Primarily, I imagine, as a result that of the changes that have been brought in terms of the budgetary process. They're bringing in the OECD proposal so that the Oireachtas committees are going to have a much bigger role to play in terms of resource allocation and policy decisions. So, you know, members have to be more informed. You also have the issue where, you know, there is the supply-led arrangement agreement between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So Fianna Fáil will want to be influencing this budget as well as Fine Gael. And you also have the Independent Alliance. So what we're hoping is, in Social Justice Ireland, by just we've provided all the detail on how you can fund all these things, and we're really just hoping that by focusing on a few areas, like just two areas for the fiscal space, making tax credits refundable, simple things that don't cost a huge amount of money, but that will have a huge benefit in the long run. We are hoping to see some sort of move in this budget, because what people, the result of the election was that people want decent public services, not tax cuts or not tax incentives to get people from the City of London over to Dublin as a result of Brexit. I mean, that's not going to solve any of our problems, and it's simply going to make the housing crisis even worse. So what we need to do is don't look at those short-term measures, stop looking towards the election and looking towards what did people say in the last election? They said they wanted decent services, so how are we going to provide them?